If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fitness Nation. I am your host, Lewis Sung. I will be joined shortly by Ron Caniff, and I believe also we will have Chris, otherwise known as Duke Early. He will be joining us later on this evening as well. So today, what we're going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the Miami Dolphins rookie class. They have officially reported to training camp, so that means for the first time, we're getting a chance to take a look at Mo Kamara, Chop Robinson, in some actual action that we can look at and look forward to seeing what they're made of. We're going to get into all of the discussions about what the Miami Dolphins coaching staff is going to be looking for, how well they've developed players in the past, how what we expect from them moving forward as the season progresses. But before all that, of course, we just want to go ahead and mention, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can now pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the WNBA, or one of each. It is up to you to decide. Just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stats. They give you free squares, special Taco Tuesday promos, which, by the way, they do have a WNBA taco that is live right now as you are listening to this show live. So you can go ahead and check that out. And so once again, all you have to do is just use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. All right, so we're also going to be mentioning, as always, that we have Jerseys 305 as one of our sponsors as well. I'm going to play the video for you guys, courtesy of Ethan Skolnick.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called Jerseys305.com. That's Jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And once again, that's jerseys305.com. You can use that promo code 5 to get 10% off your next order when you get some vintage jerseys from that website. And this is a little minor note here. Since we are part of the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed, once again, this show will be going on there this evening after everything is all said and done. I'm going to send the audio over to Al, and he'll put everything up on there for us. So the other thing that I'm going to just go ahead and quickly mention, they do have a new sponsor that we're going to plug right here on this show. You can actually get yourself a little bit of saved money via Valvoline link. Valvoline. So you get yourself 10%, $10 off a full synthetic or $8 off of a conventional oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. So very simple, very easy. That's all you got to do. So there is a link on the 3YPC Twitter feed, so make sure you go check that out. And if you have, you need some place to get your Dolphins fix in, once again, OnlyFins. That's discord.gg/OnlyFins. The link is in the description of this YouTube video, and I'm sure that it is all over the 3YPC podcast feed as well. So we do have Ron and Duke available in here somewhere, but I think they had to step away for just a moment. So I'm going to go ahead and try to set the stage. Real- oh, there's Duke. Duke is here. So it looks like he just quickly changed locations. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Ron, I don't know what happened to Ron. He was just telling me that because we were trying to get Ron back into the groove of things. He was supposed to have a producer power, but it doesn't seem like he has it. Ron, did you go in through the link that I previously gave you, or did you go in through the link that I gave you on the invite link? I hear nothing you are saying. the joy of audio, the visual that I can
hello?
See him.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay, sorry.
I was about to say the joy of visual means that I can see what you're saying even without you having to say it. So I know that you're getting me demonetized before you even say anything.
Yeah, there you go. Now, what it is I don't think I didn't log in. It didn't keep me logged in. That's why. It's not about the link. It's about I'm not logged in. But, can you do it without me, or you want me to try and log in here live? This is live TV without a net.
No, that's fine. We'll go ahead and we'll run with it. I mean, we'll get you full producer power soon enough.
Yeah, sorry, I was kind of rushed into the show today.
No problem. No, it's all good. By the way, folks, no Eric Weideke tonight. He had something come up, so hopefully it's nothing serious, but we will hopefully see him again next week. So as the chat is already getting in on this here, so Welch is talking about we already have some rookies on the PUP list starting day one. So it is actually Mark Perry, an undrafted safety, and Taj Washington, one of the last draft picks Miami had. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that real quick if we would like to. So the thing about Mark Perry, he was actually a very interesting safety prospect. There were a lot of people saying that he had a really good chance to make the 53-man roster. Obviously, starting out on the PUP list, if he ends up starting the season on the PUP, then the Dolphins don't have to worry about somebody poaching him. So he'll be able to just kind of hang around there if they just keep him there the whole time. So who knows? This is maybe Miami's way of stashing somebody again. They like to do that. They'll just leave guys on the PUP list indefinitely. And they'll say, you know what? We're just going to put you on the back burner. We'll just leave you on the shelf because we know we're not going to use you yet. And that way we'll be able to just go ahead and we'll keep you for next year, which would actually be a very sneaky way of getting around the whole Javon Holland situation. If they really feel that strongly about Mark Perry, and I don't know how strongly they feel. Obviously, we've never seen this kid play at all. And if he's on the PUP, we're not going to. But I don't know.
They're not going to feel strongly about either of these guys yet. Maybe you like what you see a little bit in the bit of off-season work you've had. Maybe you like a little bit of what they've done in the classroom. Hey, that guy asked some good questions. He was fairly impressive. That is the limit to their quote-unquote liking somebody or having quote-unquote plans for them in the defense or offense.
Now, I understand.
It's not like that.
And I understand what you're saying, Ron, and I agree with you on principle. But then again, Brian Flores felt very strongly about Nick Needham, and probably the only thing that he was right about. So,
yeah, but again, he didn't get a role on the team until he had earned that role. I mean, we're day one of training camp for rookies. Like, we haven't even reported vets in yet.
I know.
Let's see who ends up on, if anybody on the PUP list come next week when the vets, then we start to be like, okay, those are some of the names I get worried about. Where where's Jalen Phillips going to be when he comes in? I know you had a big tweet about him this morning, right? And you're excited about Jalen Phillips maybe coming back, doing what Aaron Rodgers wished that he could have. And let's see where Chubb is. I think we're pretty sure that Chubb's going to be on the pup list to start. Those are some of the names. And then will there be any names where like, whoa, where did that come from? That when we start to get that information, that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I fully expect Jalen Phillips to be on the pup list, even if he is getting ready. But yeah, the man is superhuman. He'll be ready for week one. I'm not even a little bit concerned about that. Of course, that does bring back the discussion that I was. So, go ahead, Duke.
We need to establish.
We need to establish that your audio is a little screwy. Go ahead, try again.
The rules for the pup list. Yeah, sorry, it's messed up. We need to establish how the pup list works. You can't be added to the pup list anytime during training camp. It has to be at the beginning of training camp. The moment you practice, you are no longer eligible for the pup list. Now the rules have changed that you can be added to IR immediately in camp, and you do not get you can come back as one of your designations to return for the year. Whereas previously, if you got put on IR in training camp, you were done for the year. So that opens up a 53-man roster spot. So somebody like Bradley Chubb is going to end up on one of those lists. However, the moment someone practiced, so if a guy like the reason we couldn't put Jalen Ramsey on the pup list last year was because he practiced. So just be aware of that. You'll see people say, well, let's put this guy on the pup list. You're either on it now or you're not. So these rookies that are on it, and you can come off at any time. I mean, Mark Perry can come off tomorrow. It doesn't matter, but you can't go back on it. So that's just a housekeeping rule thing for the fans. So we can't put this guy on the pup list if he's already practiced.
And Chris, you would know better than I. And isn't the reason for the pup list is that if I stick some people on the pup list and I don't have to then go take somebody off the 90-man roster or things like that, doesn't it allow them to keep those guys around and then maybe look to add an 89th or 90th guy out there? Isn't that the whole point of the pup list, or what's the difference? I mean, it's 90 guys, or 91 guys in the Dolphins' case because they have an international player. I don't think Chris likes my question. I was kidding.
I think my signal was my signal was breaking up there. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The point of putting them on pup versus just having them hang around is why? So you can add additional players.
Yeah. So
if you want to and not have to cut anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So the IR thing was added this past year. So if you were on, so like for example, last year Jalen Ramsey could not go on IR until after 53-man cutdowns, because that would mean he was done for the year. So he had to be on the 53. And now they've changed that you can add someone to the IR list now, and they can be designated as a guy to return. So let's say you've got a player that you want back. Gets hurt in camp, you don't have to cut a guy to keep him on the roster, right? So you can just say, well, let's say, like for example, last year, Jeff Wilson Jr. or something, let's say he gets hurt in camp. Well, you can put him on IR right now, and you could designate him to return, and that opens up a roster spot. Whereas last year, if you did that, he was done for the year, and that just, you have to. It has to be done initially. So if you've got a guy that you know is coming into camp hurt, probably not going to pass a physical, any of that stuff, you put him on PUP now. And that way he's not necessarily opens up. It can't open up a roster spot, but it's just the designation that you can do that. And you can kind of wait until they're ready to go before they practice. So one is just you can't practice, and one is just, something happens after you practice. So,
gotcha.
So, and already just to give some clarification, Mark Perry is considered on the non-football injury list. So he did something that he hurt himself doing something that has nothing to do with football. Apparently.
Well, that's the thing is sometimes with that, NFL's kind of dicks. Could have had something to do with football, but they didn't consider it football related, even though maybe it was. Now, if he hurt himself playing pickup basketball or blew his fingers off with some fireworks, and that's definitely fair.
You mean just like former Dolphin Jason Pierre-Paul?
Sometimes the NFL is a little sometimes the NFL is a little unfair with that whole NFI. We don't know the circumstances. Most of the time we don't in these cases.
You know, I had almost forgotten Jason Pierre-Paul was a Dolphin for a brief amount of time there.
Yeah, a little bit. We rotate through them. Man, most NFL teams do, especially if you're a – well, usually if you're a good or competing team and you have some injuries, heavy injuries to a position, you'll have to throw on some of these names you'll hear. If you're not a competing team, you have injuries, you're going to try and look at some other guys, right? Mm-hmm. But if you do have some injuries, you're like, let's just go get some dudes to try and compete if you're a good team. So that's a benefit and a drawback, I guess, both.
I'm still waiting for the Ndamukong Suh retirement tour.
I don't think so. I don't know if that's going to ever happen there. I mean, if we didn't grab him this time, isn't he still out there?
He's out there. He's sitting. He's waiting. Yeah. Just for the
we
right.
I mean, we signed 10% of the available defensive tackles on the free agent market, and we didn't sign him. So I don't see us signing him.
No, I don't think even if he's not going to want to, he wouldn't want to do training camp anyway. He's very much like Melvin Ingram in that regard. It's like, nah, I'm done with training camp. Thank you. But in any case, so the other one, of course, is Taj Washington, the other talented wide receiver. He was the Washington that was catching passes from Caleb Williams, if I'm not mistaken. So he's the unsung hero of the offense over there. So Michael Desire in the chat is very frustrated with the news that Taj is already hurt. And this team always has hurt players.
Every team always has hurt players.
This is true, yes. But but as Dolphins fans, we are especially sensitive because it feels like we always have like a whole laundry list of players that are already
statistically,
unavailable.
The last 2 years, the Dolphins, depending on how you measure it, but there's a few different ways you can. The Dolphins have been the most injured team in the NFL for both years Mike McDaniel's been here. They've been the most injured team. They've had the most players miss the most weeks of every single team in the NFL. 2 years running. Boy, I'd love to have a little luck come our way for once, because twice it's hurt us at the end of the season. Twice it's cost us. Especially especially 2 years ago when we almost beat Buffalo in Buffalo with Skylar Thompson.
Yep.
You know,
we're going to have that almost just living rent free in our heads for a very long time. I feel
But I mean, hasn't the team done things to address that? I mean, we brought in guys like Jonnu Smith and Odell Beckham Jr. who are veteran players who can step up and be first and second options if you need them to be. And if you look at last year, you had Hill was hurt half the season. Waddle missed some games at the end. Mostert missed some games at the end. And so it was a situation where the skill players were hurt, and that was affecting the way the team could play. Now we've got guys that can step into those roles and say, you know what, we're going to let Tyreek and Waddle take a break. We're going to let Mostert take a break in some of these games and not get all the snaps. And we've still got guys that we think we can win with. So I think that's a big difference from this year. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know, because you're relying on, especially at the pass rush department, you're relying on some rookies to kind of step into that spot. But I think overall they've kind of, I think they wanted a deeper team this year, and I think we saw that with free agency. So a lot of people are like, oh, no, you've lost Christian Wilkins. Oh, no, you've lost Robert Hunt. And the team was like, you know what? We wanted depth. We want guys that can step in and play that, you know, maybe they're the fourth wide receiver, or maybe they're the fifth defensive end or edge rusher. But we need those guys come December, because last year we didn't have them, and we were signing dudes off the street. So
unfortunately, Taj Washington is going to be left out in the cold when it comes to getting these rookie snaps for training camp. This is like their one opportunity to really show, hey, I've got what it takes to get the job done. You should give me a really hard look as opposed to all the other veterans on this list. And it's very interesting because there are some positions on this team right now as far as the rookies go. We have quite a roster filled with rookies here, but there's only one running back out of this whole list, and there's only one quarterback out of this whole list. So Gavin Hardison right now and Jalen Wright, are going to be getting a lot of opportunities to show the coaching staff, hey, this is what we can do when we get the opportunity to show ourselves and there's nobody else to fight with us for our spot. So this will be interesting to see, because this is basically Jalen Wright's opportunity to say, hey, once the vets come in here, you should give me a higher look over the likes of Jeff Wilson and them. And I feel like if there's anybody who's on the outside looking in at this point, the only one who you could really make that argument for is, in fact, Jeff Wilson. I don't think that Miami is going to keep that many running backs this time around. You're muted, sir.
There we go. How many do you think they're going to keep?
Well, let's just go down the list here. You're going to keep Raheem Mostert.
I want a number first. How many do you think they're going to keep?
I have to go through my mental checklist here, sir.
Wait, hold on. Chris has
what timeout?
He has the same thought I have. Four.
where does Alec Ingold rank? Do we put him in the running back room, or we're going to keep him separate?
Yeah, I think he's just like an extra offensive player. They kept four running backs last year, and
so
Ingold, and had four tight ends.
Okay, so I group him in with the running back room. So if you're doing that, then you're saying if you do that, then you're
five
saying,
in that case.
Five, okay.
Yeah. So, all right, so you got right, it.
Fine. So Mostert? I'll go by Duke's rules. So Mostert, mm-hmm. Ingold, mm-hmm. HN, mm-hmm. and then after that you have Jalen Wright.
Yes. And Jeff Wilson.
Jeff Wilson?
No. Chris Brooks.
Chris.
Now, that's interesting. Brooks or Wilson? I guess that's the battle, right?
And don't rule out Savon Ahmed as a special teams guy.
I'm going to rule him out.
Cap for Life is saying Savon Ahmed will make it, and Michael Desire saying that Ahmed will not make it.
That spot is going to come down to money, which hurts Jeff Wilson, because you can save a little bit of money by cutting him. I don't think the contracts for Brooks or Ahmed are problematic.
Duke, second thing, Ron's doing the same thing I'm doing, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm going to over the cap. Jeff Wilson, $1.1 million. I mean, he's a vet. I mean, pretty much dead money, $1.18.
So you save a little
bit. Hold on. It's past June 1st, though, Ron.
Oh, yeah, it is past. You're right. Yeah. Post June.
So we actually lose money by cutting Wilson.
Yeah, lose money by cutting him. Yeah. So no, there. I don't see them.
No, because I checked that out. You could actually get cap savings from Jeff Wilson, because I checked this a while back.
Check again, man. I mean, I just don't think there's much to be saved, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking about.
I mean, you could save the $1.1 million. You would get like $500K, something like that.
But either way, that spot is going to, I mean, you're not going to pay that much money for a guy that's going to sit the bench, right? And just be inactive on game day. And
$1.1 million is just like a vet minimum. They will pay a guy to sit the bench for $1.1 million. That's the NFL.
If you're going to pay that kind of money, then you want to see some kind of return. He's going to have to play special teams, and if he excels at special teams, that's fine. You just don't want that guy to be inactive on game days. So that was the problem with Noah Igbinoghi. Like, you know, everybody's like, well, he's not. It wasn't that he wasn't seeing the field on defense. He wasn't even getting on the field on special teams. He wasn't even making the active game day roster. He was just showing up. So. You know, I think I like Brooks over Wilson, just because I think there is some youth there and some potential there. But
he's going to have to show something, though. You're talking about a guy in Wilson who came from Mike McDaniel, came from that system. He brought him over here, traded for him. He trusts him. He has shown up in times where we needed him to, especially that first year. And Brooks has done none of that. So I just don't see it unless Wilson comes in. And if it's like Brooks Wilson, I think it's Wilson. If Brooks has come in and like just brought it up two or three levels and Wilson maybe looks the same or less, then maybe. But if they're close, they're just going to stay with Wilson, in my opinion.
I mean, we're talking about RB4 really at this point, because
the rest of our team is solid. What else do we have to argue about besides RB4?
That guy is going to have to win a spot on special teams. It's the same thing with wide receiver 5 and 6 and tight end 4 and all these other positions that are up for grabs. because now, especially with the new kickoff rules, you're going to need to be able to win on special teams. And I think Danny Crossman's going to get some guys that are like, you know what, we're not playing him at the game of anything other than special teams. It has to be a disaster for him to get on the field kind of thing. So okay, that's where a guy like Ahmed may make his name for himself. It's like, say, you know what, I'm a great special teams tackler. I'm good on the kickoff unit. And I'm better than these guys at that. That's why you need to keep me around. Yeah. And he's an undrafted guy. He's been around for a while. So,
yeah, fair enough. You make a better case for Ahmed than you do for Brooks, in my opinion. Not that I don't dislike any of these guys. I think they're all have a potential to contribute. I mean, I'm not sure. I know that the title of this show is Rookies Report to Training Camp. So I didn't know if you had anything specific in mind you wanted to talk about, Lewis, because I know we kind of got into we started getting into position battles because it's real natural to do that. I was like, if we want to really talk about position battles, like maybe we could sit there and talk about our defensive line. We could probably spend an entire show on what that's going to look like coming into week one because nobody knows. And we're not just talking about position battles. We're talking about where's our pressure coming from and things like that. And some of these rookies, Kamara and Robinson, might have to have a big role coming into week one to get some pressure on the quarterback. Or I don't know what this defense is really going to look like at first, because with Jalen Phillips still, I understand that you're big and he's ready and you're big on him and he's ready. But man, that Jalen Phillips isn't going to come in and look like Jalen Phillips 5 minutes before the injury week one. He's just not going to, Lewis. It's just not humanly possible. So there is going to be a buildup for him week one, two, three, at least. It's going to be slow, and I don't think Chubb's going to be there at all. So what does that look like, man? I'm extremely nervous about that defensive line and no Wilkins. We've got rotating defensive tackles. We think we know who the starter is, but we really don't know. I mean, there's just a lot to be uncovered there, but especially if we're talking about the rookies, Kamara and Robinson are going to have to come in and at least put pressure on the quarterback. And maybe even have Robinson might even have some additional responsibility. He may not get the benefit of just coming in and only rushing the quarterback. So it's just interesting to see what that's going to look like and how much we use those two guys and how effective are they and do they get picked on week one, et cetera. That's for me is the scariest part of going into week one is that defensive line and especially where the pressure is coming from.
I mean, we've got a crop of rookies to look at there as far as the defensive line is concerned. We've got a couple guys. We got Leonard Payne out of Colorado. He's a rookie. You were talking about your rushers. You've got Mo Kamara. You've got Chop Robinson. And those are the guys, obviously, the ones that we're going to be looking at the most. I know that we are. Like Mo Kamara, pretty much every mock draft that we've ever done on this on this show and pretty much most other shows, like even the 3 yards per carry guys, we were screaming at the top of our lungs, we want Mo Kamara, we want Mo Kamara. Like the comparisons, we kept hearing stuff like Cameron Wake, and I don't know how much of that is legitimate. Some people have also said that you could say that Mo Kamara is basically a young Shaq Barrett, which is ironic because we actually have the actual Shaq Barrett on the roster this year.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that we picked up in free agency that's going to be responsible for a big portion of our rushing and our quarterback pressure right out of the gate. I mean, you're talking about, remember, we had a trio last year in Chubb, Phillips, and Van Ginkle.
Andrew Van Ginkle, yeah.
And we go in, I don't want to relitigate it. I'm sure you guys did when I was off this offseason. I still just don't understand with given the situation of our roster, why we didn't just pay that man that money and keep him. But it is what it is now, right? Bygones. So we had a trio of guys, Chubb, Phillips, and AVG were insanely good three guys at rushing the quarterback. It really helped. They really started coming on. And one of them's gone completely. Chubb, ACL, late October, right? Early November?
It'll take him a while. I don't remember exactly.
It's going to be well into the season before we really see him even something close and probably not going to be back to form until the following season if he's still a Dolphin. I hadn't looked at his contract to know. And then And Phillips is, it's going to at least start off kind of slow. You got to figure that, if nothing else. Hasn't played real football since, was it October for sure, right, of last year?
For
so,
who?
For Phillips, yeah. So it's, I mean, it's just a big question mark there. It's like a total change, and then a change in defense, and then a change in linebackers. And
Phillips was
never, it's a little nerve-wracking going into the season in that front seven. I don't know how you feel, Chris. I see you kind of shaking your head a little bit. Maybe you have thoughts that you're like, man, we're going to be good because ABC. I'd love to hear if you feel that way, what ABC is. I'm a bit nervous about it because we have to rely on these rookies.
Yeah, I was just saying, as far as the when they went out, Phillips went out on the Black Friday game. So that's late November.
Oh, okay.
And Chubb went out against the Ravens, which was the next to last game of the year in regular season.
I didn't even realize it was that late in the season. The previous season like just wipes away from my brain when the next season starts.
So, he got hurt, injured in that game. So that was either, I think that if that wasn't New Year's Day, it was right around New Year's. Because I think the next week was the first week in January, which is normally a playoff week, but they added game or whatever. So as far as your question in regards to the how they're going to do the pass rush, it's going to be a committee approach. They're going to have to do that. I think Phillips will be ready, and I think he will play. But you know how they were last year. I mean, we had guys on the offensive line that dressed and could have played but didn't because they were just kind of leery of getting them back out there. And I think that given the nature of that injury, they're not going to rush him back. They're going to get him out on the field if he's there. If he's healthy and they say he's got medical clearance, it's going to be 20 snaps a game to start with. And then they're going to ramp him up as the season goes along. So I think you're going to see some systemic pressures that come from blitzes and moving guys around.
So more blitzing for sure.
Yeah, and Chop Robinson said after he was drafted that this type of defense was similar to what he ran at Penn State. And he said, I played outside and I played over the nose, which if you look at him, he's playing kind of a stand-up rushing role where he comes up the middle and you're basically using his athleticism to throw the interior offensive line into conflict. Another name that I think we'll throw in there as a guy that can play edge because he did last year is Calais Campbell. And he played, I think, pretty much all of his snaps last year as an edge for Atlanta. So he's a guy that you can put in certain roles and let him rush the passer from an edge perspective. So you've got a veteran there that can play all along the offensive line and defensive line. And then once you get the other guys back, we won't see Chubb until midseason.
So, at least, and he probably won't be ever 100 this year. No, usually people coming from ACL never are fully 100 back. The Calais Campbell signing concerned me, not because of the player. I like the signing in a vacuum. It concerned me that they saw what their team, because it was kind of a late signing, right? Mm-hmm. They got a look after the off-season work heading into the long break and said, We still need something. We're still missing something. Was that just a numbers thing? Was that they're looking at Chubb and Phillips' progression and not liking it? I think that's probably less of that. Were they looking at the rookies and not thinking they were going to be able to take all the snaps they were hoping they would be, that maybe they just weren't quite ready or quite there going into training camp? Probably that one. Or maybe they just saw an opportunity to add some talent to the team. You know, maybe I'm overthinking it. But that signing kind of told me something. But I was looking to see who would they sign right coming out of, you know, the offseason work is over officially, right? And what moves did Miami make? And that one stood out to me as something when they evaluated the team, they felt like something was missing. Now, perhaps that thing isn't missing anymore with that signing, but it told me that there was probably something there, or in this case, not there.
Well, and one of the things that, and I think Omar mentioned this, I saw him on a podcast, and he mentioned this, is that one of the things they lost this offseason, particularly in the defensive room, was leadership. That was Christian Wilkins. He was the vocal leader of that group. And Omar said that this is the Calais Campbell can be that guy. He's got, you know, he's been in the league for, you know, 35 years. He's got the experience to be that vocal leader that wasn't there until he got here. So maybe that's what they saw, was they needed something there. I think they're going to go with a kind of a committee approach. And I think maybe it's bad for a couple of the other guys, the bottom of the roster defensive tackle position guys. But yeah, I think they needed a vocal leader, and I think they needed just another body there. And I think what he can give you as an edge and as an interior player basically saves you two rosters, or saves you a roster spot. Because that's a veteran edge rush player that you don't have to acquire now.
I mean, he's how old? 38?
He was like drafted in the same draft as Jake Long.
Oh my god. That was 2008, right?
08. He's, I think, 38 years old, or is turning 38 this year.
Wow. Okay. So, interesting. I don't dislike the signing, like I said, on its face. I was more concerned about what it said about how they felt about that room.
And if you look at like Baltimore's defensive snaps, the highest snap taker for any edge rusher was Jadeveon Clowney. So you've got to figure by season's end, that's going to be Jalen Phillips. And again, even if he starts slow, that's going to be the guy. He's going to get the by week 16, he's going to be seeing, you know, 70-80% of the snaps a game. The next guy they had was Kyle Van Noy, who came in, I think, in week 2 or 3 of last year. He wasn't
another blast from the recent past.
He got like 45% of the snaps, which is pretty good for a guy that was added late. So if you factor that in, you've got to figure your second edge guy is probably not going to necessarily see a ton of snaps like we saw last year, where Chubb and Phillips played practically every snap, and then they got a ton of snaps. So I think we're going to see some of that rotation. So some of that's going to be helpful. It's just a matter of who's going to step up and be that guy. Now, we kind of assume Shaq Barrett's going to be the leading edge guy starting out, just with the injury situation.
Along with who on the other side? You think Phillips starts? Or you think Robinson? Or who do you think?
I think it's going to be the winner of the Robinson-Kamara battle. And I don't think it would say anything negative about Robinson if he doesn't win that battle. I think Kamara is an older player, and he's a little more polished as an edge rusher than Chop Robinson. He's just not the athlete he is. But I think you're going to see those guys. I mean, when I say, I don't look at it in terms of like a starter. I look at it in terms of who's going to get the most snaps. And I think both of those guys are probably going to be in the 400 to 500 snap range, assuming Chubb doesn't come back quicker than expected. I think if he comes back quicker than expected, you're going to lean on your best players, and he and Phillips are your best players. So I think that's what we're going to see from those guys. And, you know, I would love to see Chop come in and, you know, by week 7 have like 5 sacks or something. But if he doesn't, I understand. So it's going to be a learning curve. But, yeah, I mean, I feel your concern. And I think that right now that is the absolute biggest question mark of anything that we have, including the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, I have way less question on the offensive line than I do the defensive line. Hey, for the first time in a long time, it's one of I think we know what the offensive line is going to look like. The Dolphins have accepted that they are going to just be kind of like here at offensive line. They're looking to get this level of play. It's not Dallas Cowboys 7 years ago, and it's not Miami Dolphins 10 years ago, right? It's just kind of somewhere in the middle. We just want you to be able to do ABC at this point in DFE, you know, DEF, and yeah, I can't spell, in these plays. And as long as you can just manage those things, we're good with you. We understand that you guys aren't the best in the league, and where you guys aren't, most of you are not top dollar offensive linemen, et cetera, et cetera. I really feel like the Dolphins have just committed to that, because when they signed OBJ, it told me, okay, They you know what? They didn't decide that. What happened last year in the playoffs and towards the end? We started having hurt wide receivers. A lot of times it was only either Hill or Waddle on the field, if either one of them sometimes, right? So they figured out, hey, we can just take away their one guy. They don't have anybody else, and we're going to rush the shit out of Tua because his offensive line's not very strong, and he can't get rid of the ball in 2 seconds, and hell broke loose. That's what kept happening to me. I kept seeing that happen over and over and over again. So I thought, me, as the GM...
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
And I really want to bolster this offensive line. They said, nah, screw the offensive line. We're just going to keep it mid. Hopefully we'll have less injuries this time. Let's sign another really good wide receiver. Now let's see you stop that. And well, that's pretty much what they decided, that they are going to have a certain level. So because of that, I'm comfortable with the offensive line, and for one reason only, because Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer seem to be comfortable with it. So I'm just going to go with it and hope that their whole three wide receiver thing works out.
I think that they believe a lot in the development of players. And I know this time last year we were talking about we can't go into this critical year with Austin Jackson on the offensive line.
And that's true. We were freaking out.
14 snaps, Ron.
The 14 snaps from 2 years ago. And of the three, greatest scout in the history of the NFL.
And of the three guys in a contract year, he's the one that got extended. So granted, it was not for, you know, the Connor Williams thing was the injury situation. And I love it.
I mean, this is a cup for you more than me, Chris. I mean, I'm in near Orlando.
So
Palm Bay, Florida, if anybody knows where that shithole is. Okay.
But I think they, you know, the Robert Hunt priced himself out. Let's just be fair about that. And Austin Jackson signed a reasonable contract for the position. He's not, you know, a $25 million a year tackle. So anyway, I think they believe a lot in the development of players. That's why Liam Eichenberg is still here. They brought back Robert Jones. They have guys like Lester Cotton and Keon Smith and some of these other names that we've brought up. And we don't like these guys, but they see something there. And I think what they're attempting to do is to say, we're not trying to make this a high ceiling offensive line. We're just trying to raise the floor a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to say I
think if you can raise the floor just a little bit with these guys, particularly with a guy like Liam Eichenberg, he's the guy. Let's just be honest. They don't care about Driscoll and Lester Cotton and any of those other guys.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know.
Keep talking, Chris. I don't want Lewis to be able to make his point. He's been dying to for a minute straight.
We're not talking about these guys
coming in. It's my show, doggone it.
We're not talking about these guys coming in and becoming all pros. Okay, let's be fair. We're not expecting that. That's not the expectation. If it happens, that's fantastic. It's not going to. We just need average play. And let's be fair to Liam Eichenberg. He had a position change last year. The worst game of the year was the first game he started at center against Buffalo in Buffalo, where everything fell apart. The rest of the year, he was fairly okay, even though he didn't move around. And he played hurt most of the year. He was limping around, had a bad knee or calf or something.
He's going to get a shot at one of the guard spots.
And
you know, he's going
I think he's going to be your starting right guard. I think you're starting.
Oh, really? Over Driscoll.
I think the starting offensive line right now, if I had to put money on it, would be Armstead, Wynn, Brewer, Eichenberg, and Jackson. That's your starting five.
And Driscoll is the floater guard.
And remember, during OTAs and minicamp, they did try him out at center. So
Driscoll is the new Liam Eichenberg, is what you're saying.
Which
means, by the way, if they try Driscoll at center during the offseason, if the Dolphins hold true to what they seem to like to do, he won't play one effing snap during the entire training camp and preseason. And somewhere in the middle of the year, he'll be thrown in to be the starter. Because that's exactly what happened with Liam Eichenberg.
I think Eichenberg would move over from right guard to center if it got to that point.
You're no fun, Chris.
I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to raise the floor. They're saying, we don't expect 1992 Dallas Cowboys offensive line. What we do expect is just, we know the guys that are going to play. We know the guys that are going to miss time. And we're fine with the guys that we have behind them. And we're fine with the rest of the starters. And as long as that they're fine with it, that's really all you need. Because, number one, I don't care what people say about Tua. He's really good in the pocket at manipulating the pocket, moving around, and getting away from pressure. He's not going to run. He's not a guy that's going to scramble like Lamar Jackson or anything. But he's good at moving from the spot, right? And we've seen that a lot. He's going to throw the ball quickly. I don't care what offensive line he had. He's still going to throw the ball in like 2.2 seconds or something like that because he's got the playmakers to do it. And now he's got guys like Jonnu Smith, and they're going to move Achane out there. And he's got Odell Beckham, who's going to, you know, be these kind of possession guys in a sense. that are going to open up quick as well. I don't want to get too overly excited about the offense, but I'm overly excited about the offense.
I mean, of course, everybody should be excited about the offense, especially considering that according to Fowler in his GM survey, the Dolphins players, besides Tyreek Hill and kind of Waddle, are a bunch of mid to shitty players. And apparently that means Mike McDaniel is the greatest NFL mind in the history of the sport. And we've added talent to that mid, quote unquote, mid group of guys that we seem to have, according to the Fowler / according to the GMs. By the way, GMs hate that when they're wrong too, and they will absolutely sit there till the day they die and say that Tua sucks.
Lot of GMs are like politicians. They'll lie to say whatever they have to do to get it done, man. But like, look,
we should be excited about the offense, man.
Yeah, that report, when I saw that report come out, I thought to myself, really? Like, all this talk about how Tua has all these incredible weapons. Tua has all these weapons,
Chris,
and that's why.
Yeah. And that's why he's so great, right?
Like, that's why he's so wonderful. Tua's so special because of all these weapons that Tua has. But apparently the GMs think that the weapons that Tua has are whatever. They're middle of the pack at best.
They think that Tyreek Hill's the third best wide receiver in the league. Waddle's an honorable mention. Everyone else is not even on the list. Some of them not even an honorable mention, including Mostert. I think Mostert might have been at like 22, right? The guy who had what? Didn't he have more than – he had more touchdowns than
he broke the franchise record for touchdowns
in their list, right? And apparently, Tua's mid two. He went from 15th to 14th after being the first quarterback in the history of the NFL yards and yards per average and, you know, whatever the hell else it was. But somehow – I didn't mean to get into this rant. Anyway, CK in OnlyFans has been going through this list and kind of breaking down a lot of it and pointing out pretty much, I'm just repeating everything CK has said. And he probably said it. He'll say it on his podcast tonight too. I imagine I'm just repeating what he has just said, but we haven't heard yet kind of thing. It's ridiculous, but I do want to maybe, cause we're supposed to try and keep it on topic a little bit.
We're already
either Lewis or Chris, because I don't have an answer. Where does Patrick Paul fit in this year? Because you're going to keep probably eight offensive linemen, and you've got a guy that, according to everybody, shouldn't see the field at all. If you're one of the eight offensive linemen, especially for the Miami Dolphins, you will see the field. So what are you expecting from him? He's the third tackle, right? I mean, what else is? Or not the third tackle. I'm sorry, the fourth tackle, meaning after Lamb, T.A., Austin.
But he's going to be – it depends.
I see a look of worry on Chris's face right now. I've already made my
Patrick Paul point. I'll do it again, but everybody
I'm fine with Patrick Paul. Number one, he's got to change that number. That's the big key for Patrick Paul. 52 is not an offensive tackle number, but – it depends on how they feel about Lamb playing both sides. And he did that last year. But if he's just going to stick to the left, do they move Paul to the right side in that case, where he's the backup on the right side? Ultimately, I don't think it matters, because we know Paul's going to be OT3 at some point in the season at worst. Hopefully he's not getting that much playing time unless he's earning it. I mean, if he's going out there and, you know, crushing people in camp and preseason, by all means, get him on the field. I'm hoping they'll run like some heavy packages on the goal line and get him in and stuff like that, because he can move. He's got the long arms. Get him in the run.
Yeah, he's athletic as all hell. Just has, according to the football experts, the football world, just absolutely terrible technique. According to almost even Chris Greer, after he drafted him, he's like,
right?
Yeah, this guy can't do crap, but look at how good he still is. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what he pretty much said. Like, wow, look at even with terrible technique. I can't remember exactly what he said. He's like, even when he played bad, he was still making the play or something like that. So clearly even Chris Greer was admitting, yeah, this guy's a super diamond in the rough, and we've got to try and polish him.
Pick 55, that's what you're going to get.
There were other players, Duke, that were available that were much more fundamentally sound than Patrick Paul. Like, if they were this has been my issue with the Chris Greer draft technique. And I don't have an issue with Greer specifically. I don't want the guy fired. He's been a fantastic guy, GM for the Dolphins.
I ride or die with Chris Greer, so you better not.
At this point, Chris Greer has proven himself that he can 100% evaluate talent.
Absolutely.
He can evaluate talent. But my issue with him is that he always drafts a year in advance. He drafts for a year in advance.
That is what the draft is for.
No, Ron. Yes,
it is. These are rookies. The draft is for the future, not for the present, man.
If you are a contender and you are pushing for a Super Bowl, you want every player that you can get your hands on right now to be somebody that you're going to expect to get a lot of snaps out of.
But think about it, Lewis.
That's just my thought of it.
Think about from the process of a GM. The GM's like, okay, when I started, the team was here, right? And now the team was here, and now we're here. And in their mind, they feel like they got through that through a particular process. And that process
included, traded for a lot of really good players, Ron.
They did that. But that process also included drafting tomorrow's players today. If your mind, you're thinking, I got where I am now partially by making the right draft choices for the future. Why am I suddenly, now that I'm finding success, going to go away from what I was doing, from one of the aspects of what I felt helped the team grow and helped the team get better? That is going to be most GM's thought process. They felt like they were doing a good job and it was working. And I also want to add, could you bring up Eric? I don't know if it's our Eric or a different Eric.
Eric's
Smith, point about it was Butch Berry, Mike McDaniel, et cetera.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah. Duke, Butch Berry, Frank Smith, Mike McDaniel, all OL backgrounds. They believe they can invest less, develop more. That's another aspect. You've got Butch Berry. And you've got a Butch Berry that you trust. Remember when we signed him last year, apparently the coaching staff, obviously. Mike McDaniel, I'm sure, pounded the table and said, get me this guy, get me this guy. I don't know, maybe Frank Smith too. I don't know if Smith had any work or had worked with Butch Berry before. He said, get me this guy. But now Greer sees, oh, you were right about this guy. He really can develop offensive linemen. You know what? I'm going to give him the most raw piece. I'm going to give a guy who's a pure, beautiful sculptor the most beautiful blob of clay I've ever given anybody and say, here, make this into a statue. And that's pretty much what he's done. But everybody knew that wasn't going to be for 2024 because, again, that is not what the draft is for.
And let's be fair about offensive line. I mean, I think the days really of a Chris Long – or excuse me, a Jake Long coming out and just being like, this guy's a Pro Bowler the day we draft him. And you knew that. You knew the moment – regardless how you felt about whether it should be him or Matt Ryan, whatever, you knew when they drafted Jake Long, it's like, that guy's going to start at left tackle. Just pencil him into the Pro Bowl right now. You knew it day one. Even with Laremy Tunsil, you didn't really feel that. And he's probably been the best left tackle prospect that I've seen since the Jake Long pick.
Well, the only reason that we felt that way about Laremy Tunsil, I thought, was because Miami already had Brandon Albert to hold that down. Well, so anything he did would be somewhere inside.
But even then, he was the best. He was projected to go number one overall until everybody traded up for the quarterbacks. And then the whole, when Mike Tannenbaum dropped that video of the gas mask.
When Mike Tannenbaum dropped that video, that was good.
The only thing that Mike Tannenbaum ever did right for Miami.
With all the conspiracy theories going around about everything else in the world, that's the one I'm sticking to. I believe he did that. And you can't, because I don't think they ever found out who it was.
I thought it was his uncle or something. I thought we had heard who it was. But again, I thought it was.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean crap.
Tristan Wirfs was probably the next best offensive lineman that has come out.
That has definitely worked out.
But he was on the right side as well. And that's what he played in college. But you look at a lot of these other tackles that have come out, most of them take a couple years to get to that point. They're just not starter, like plug and play guys that come out and be really good. Rashawn Slater has turned out to be pretty good, but he wasn't an immediate great player. I think it took him a year. So Penei Sewell. Again, right side player.
Penei Sewell is great.
So they've got these guys that have come in. A lot of them played right side, which would have helped the Dolphins with a left-handed quarterback. But even then, there's guys that come out and, you're going to need a year of development, because I just don't think – and you can ask a lot of people that know more about this. I just don't think there's a lot of offensive line development in the college ranks. So you get these guys coming out with either they're really good technically, but they have some athletic limitations like a Liam Eichenberg, or you got these really athletic guys like Patrick Paul that come in that win because they are planet players. And they don't have the necessary, I mean, you know, like I said, this guy's technique may be really bad, but he's such a massive dude that he's going to win at the point of attack, even when he's not necessarily supposed to win at the point of attack. And so there's like, we're going to teach you the right way to do it. So I get that pick.
But here's my thing though, because you're bringing up excellent points. I agree with you again on principle. I agree with you. There are very few offensive linemen who come out of college these days and are ready to go day one. But keep in mind that these are still guys who have been developed and have a lot of the technique down already. And even then, they take a year to develop. So with Patrick Paul, you're starting over from scratch. You're basically starting to teach him how to play offensive line all over again. So now we're expecting 1 year. We might need 2 years or more for Patrick Paul.
I'll bet that he's going to be out of the gate preseason way better than everybody thinks he's going to be. I will be willing to bet whatever you want that Patrick Paul is going to surprise. Now, does that mean we're going to say, holy crap, that dude might start this season? No.
No,
Toronto. I'm telling you right now, everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised by the little bit of work that they see against, yes, somewhat inferior talent. It's preseason. It's, you know, late second quarter, third, fourth quarter. I think everybody's going to be surprised because I really do. In Butch Berry, I trust. I really do. So I don't think they make that without everybody signing it. Greer didn't just go out and sign a guy that nobody on the team liked. I am sure there was a discussion had about this guy. Hey, man, he's so physically talented, but his technique. And you might have even had Butch Berry look at him and say, man, I know I can get this guy. Like, give me the challenge. I want it because I want that kind of raw talent. You don't see that very often in the NFL. Give him to me. Give me that shot. You know, you just don't know. So I have a feeling there's a lot invested in the team, and I'm sure Patrick Paul heard all the criticisms that he doesn't have the technique, blah, blah, blah. Clearly, he had Chris Greer pretty much saying it right after he drafted him. I'm feeling pretty good that that's going to be better than everybody thinks.
The issue with him, as opposed to now, as you guys probably know, I was a big Troy Fatanu fan, and he went one pick before the Dolphins were on the clock. And I don't know that he would have been the pick had he still been there. I think they really valued Chop Robinson.
Yeah, they pretty much but I mean, they could be lying.
Didn't somebody trade for
No, Fatanu just went to he's went to the Steelers.
Miami said straight up that Chop was like number one on their board for whatever. So,
everybody always says that.
Yeah, I know that. They always say
that. I don't know if I ever always believe that. You know?
The thing about Fatanu was a guy like him or maybe Fuaga or some of these other names that were thrown around in the pre-draft process. These are guys you say, you know what? We don't care if you're a tackle. We're going to play you a guard year one. They're going to give you the tonsil treatment, and then when we move on or however happens with Armstead, then you move out to tackle. That's not an option with Paul. He's just too big to play guard. 6'7", 330 pounds, long arms. I don't see that as a move happening. So that's the issue really that I have. It's like he's not going to see the field in a way that some of these other guys could have. But that being said, again, you have an opportunity to take a guy that you think you can turn into what is essentially a non-blindside tackle for this quarterback. You do it. I mean, so why not? I'm more worried about the interior offensive line. I mean, I like the guys that they have with.
I like the center signing.
I like him. I don't know that I'm comfortable with the depth.
Well, you got Liam Eichenberg starting, so I feel like you think that we got a real problem because I like the sound of that at all.
Well, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll pleasantly surprise some people. Not going to be an all-pro.
So according to you and I, Patrick Paul, Liam Eichenberg will be starting. No, I'm just kidding.
I think they will get their chance. Now, you know, we discussed maybe a guy like Keon Smith. They might could try him at guard or something to see if they can keep him on the roster.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, it's either like you're OT5 or you can be OG4 and make the team. What do you do?
They tried that experiment. It did not work. Keon Smith is a left tackle. Don't mess with it.
Yeah, and he could even be our left tackle of the future, possibly. You know, well, we have Patrick Paul now, but yeah, they like Keon Smith, but it's left tackle.
I would just like, you know, I keep forgetting that Wynn's there, but you're going to, you know, you're not counting on him to play all 17 games. So
yeah, that's really the issue, is that we're back to, if we suffer some of these same injuries we had, we're in trouble.
And so the Dolphins have, you know, the past couple of years had some attrition on the offensive line where they've lost some players. But you knew they were going to do it. And last year was more catastrophic because two guys that didn't miss any time the year before missed half the season. So if we can make it through the season with assuming my starting five, if you can make it through the season with the center to right not missing any snaps or very minimal snaps, and you've got contingency plans for when Wynn and Armstead go down, I think you'll be in great shape.
Well, what's the contingency plan for if Wynn goes down, though?
That's I don't know.
That makes you a little nervous not knowing that.
That's Robert Jones. You know, I might be okay.
Don't hate on the Jonesy, man. I know we talked about it last week.
So, you know, and I think there's enough veterans out there that if it gets, you know, week two of preseason and they still look like hot garbage, that they're going to sign somebody. It's just how
you still got Lester Cotton.
But no. But yeah, if you're, I think the right side will be fine. It's the left side, as long as your contingency plan is there and you're comfortable with it, because we're comfortable with Lamb, right?
Lamb did a great job last year when he was.
Worst case scenario, we're dealing with Patrick Paul, who's, you know, maybe not sound technically, but he's just a massive human that's going to move people around. So, yeah, I think we'll be fine there. The problem is going to be is if we lose like three guys or four guys like we did last year, then we are
we're right where we were. Yeah, but hopefully, I think the thought process is, and if, again, you're hoping that these guys stay healthy. Even if you took losses like that at the offensive line, but you have Hill, Waddle, and OBJ, and now you got Smith too, and you got those running backs and A-chain you can throw to. I mean, just got to hold your block for like 2.2 seconds, man. We just need you to hold it for 2.2 seconds. Yeah. The more important thing that those guys do than block for the quarterback, because we have a quarterback just, you know, he's so quick triggered and gets rid of it faster than anybody, is they got to block right for the run game, because that run game is really important to our offense. We can't.
Yeah.
What makes our offense so lethal is that how non one dimensional it is. We are literally, in my opinion, the best throwing and best running team in the NFL. That is just my opinion. I think we do both the best. We still have that threat. Even if you and I are playing offensive line, we just can manage to hold our blocks just long enough. Like, two is going to find the guy.
And we'll go ahead and we'll get ready to end it here. One last question before we go. It's only been an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, that's depressing.
Yeah, we gotta cut it off here. But one last thing before we go, just because it was asked in the chat, Jason Stamps asks, "Who do we, I guess this is for fantasy purposes? Sam Laporta or Brock Bowers?" Me personally,
Laporta for sure. Yeah, Laporta for sure. Hey, we're gonna do a fantasy show. We said last year we were gonna do a separate Pulse of Fins Nation fantasy show, and it just like never happened. What happened with that?
I don't remember that discussion, but I mean,
well, listen, I said we were going to, and you seemed very non-committal. So can we get non-committal?
I mean, if it helps me get ready for, like, when's Labor Day? I need to know when is Labor Day?
In September sometime. I don't know.
Oh, September. Okay. First Monday, so September. Tell you what. Well, I have a fantasy draft that I'm going to be attending in person. This is the second year I'm in this league.
I love in-person drafts. That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, I will be doing it's going to be in person. I'm in a league. It's a paid league. I have to pay in. So
How many gummy bears? How much gummy bears are you playing?
I had to put in $20 worth. But
oh, okay. It's just it's a starter league.
It's a big league.
It's just a baby league.
I don't have $100 to lose on.
No, I'm picking the wrong guys. Highest one I'll do this year is $50. I used to do $100 plus ones. So I don't anymore.
So I've got one thing to add to the earlier part of the show. Savon Ahmed played 70 special team snaps to Jeff Wilson's 15 snaps.
That's a great point. How many special team snaps did Brooks play?
That I don't know, because I know he.
Like I said,
I don't have him pulled up.
You don't have me sold on Wilson over Brooks, but you're selling me more and more by the possibility of Ahmed over Wilson, possibly.
Just Jalen Wright.
Wilson was the. Wilson started the season on IR or whatever it was, but Savon Ahmed was the guy that got the carries. He was number two last year over Achan. It wasn't until Ahmed got hurt in the Patriots game, the first Patriots game, and then Achan got his first carry for like 4 yards, and then the next week he blew up. But I also want to mention one thing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this has to go with last week's show. So I watched another podcast, and it was one of the Alpha Zone. It was a panel on another podcast, and Neil Driscoll was on there. And this came out before last week's show, but I didn't watch it until after last week's show. And Neil Driscoll also mentioned the Kader Kohu trade possibility. So hat tip to him, and I want to let him know, because I don't even know if he stole it from this show, clearly. I didn't take his idea because I didn't know about it, but at least great minds think alike, because he's got the value. So I'm just saying.
I'm not buying the Kohu trade.
I wanted to give you an exciting thought here. Could you imagine a five? I don't think about this. Five players on the field in this is crazy to think about, right? Hill, Waddle, OBJ, Mostert, and Achan. Imagine plays three wide, two running backs. What the hell would you do as a defense if you saw that?
That's 20 personnel. Well, that's
crazy.
I mean, you've got these personnel looks, because you can run. I mean, what I'm wanting to see, and I follow I think his name's Coach Casey on Instagram, and he's just always throwing plays out there. And I saw one earlier today. It is a jet sweep option.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a college play, but can you imagine running a jet sweep option with the option? Yeah. So the quarterback.
Yeah.
And does whatever, does his little pitch forward.
Then
Tyreek or Waddle or whoever pitch it out to one of those other guys.
But they still have option. Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, just is. Yeah. The stuff that Mike McDaniel could cook up. All the personnel. I mean, yeah, we've got those guys. But you add Wright to that mix now. I mean, we might have an empty set with four backs on the field. Can you imagine that?
I know, right? Because you're talking about Ingold too.
Ingold, and the three running backs. Just imagine that with no receiver. Jonnu Smith's the other guy, and it's empty.
Jonnu Smith's the other guy. Yeah, that's.
So it's like, how do you defend that?
So, that's our power move right there.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, it should be fun to see. I mean, we'll still see a lot of the same things, but you know, I'm just excited to see what McDaniel, which clearly, right, according to the rankings of our players, according to Fowler / according to the GMs, clearly Mike McDaniel is the greatest mind in the game right now. So it should be really interesting to see what he took up.
And one thing about that is this got briefly mentioned earlier in the show, but on the defensive side, the number five safety that was ranked,
Javon Holland. Yeah.
So
I saw that.
If Miami wants to keep him, they're going to have to pay.
He's not going to pay big money for a safety, though. I really want to keep him, but
he's going to get probably somewhere just north of what Xavier McKinney got. I don't think he's going to get Antoine Winfield money.
No, Winfield's one of those, like, it's almost like Deshaun Watson kind of thing. It did not reset the safety market. No, it's just one of those one-off. Tampa's got a lot of money. They're not really spending it on any very many players.
Well, he's the highest paid defensive back.
We're going to pay him high. Yeah, and we're going to pay him really high. That did not reset the market, just like the Deshaun Watson deal did not reset the quarterback.
So I think he's going to get in the neighborhood of 18, 19 million a year. And I think the Dolphins should pay it, to be honest, because he's a great player.
If they can make it work in the numbers, I agree. I think they should pay it too. I'd like to see him get it. I just don't know if they're going to. That's what makes me.
I hope so. He was one of the few players that I have been extremely excited about when he got drafted.
I keep on waiting for him to have that. I don't know, that breakout. Like, he has some moments, but I keep on waiting for him to just hit that stride. And because even though he's the fifth best safety according to the GMs, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many people who watch the NFL who aren't Dolphins fans, or maybe aren't Bills or Jets, you know, somebody that'd be more exposed to the Dolphins a lot more, even know who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, they just hear, maybe they hear his name casually as they are doing the announcements on CBS. There's Javon Holland, standout safety from Miami, blah, blah, blah. And then they move on. So he'll get a little nudge of the people who watch the games know he's good. Mm-hmm. But most people, if you ask who's Javon Holland, be like, I don't know.
I think Oregon.
Like a lot of people won't even remember who he is or where he went, but he is a top safety in this league.
I think Weaver's going to put him in good positions to excel. So we're going to see the best of him this year, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited too about Weaver. I know I keep talking about. I want to just talk about football. I'll talk about it the whole time. I'm kind of excited about Weaver because as you were starting to mention all those numbers, those snap numbers for Baltimore last year. I mean, you're talking about some of the guys that were getting high snap numbers were just like they're almost like their Campbell signing, like Clowney. That was just kind of more of a little bit of an afterthought for them.
And they're so top five. They're top five. They're two starting linebackers. And three safeties. Of course, they had some issues with injuries, but I think seven of your top 10 snap takers, and definitely top five, were at least five of the top seven were all defensive backs in per game. Marlon Humphrey missed like 11 games. Marcus Williams missed like 10 games. So they missed, or however, they missed some games in there.
Yeah.
But whatever, however that number worked out, those guys were on pace to be like, you know, 90% of the snaps per game kind of thing. And it's the linebackers. So if you're looking at this team and this defense and everybody's all worried about the defensive line without Wilkins, they're going to rotate those guys in and those guys are going to get like minimal snaps. It's going to be Jalen Ramsey. It's going to be Javon Holland. It's going to be Kendall Fuller. It's going to be Jordan Poyer. It's going to be Jordan Brooks. It's going to be David Long and maybe Anthony Walker Jr. or whoever. Those guys are going to be the heart and soul of this defense. And if these linebackers take to it and these defensive backs take to it like we hope they do, then, you know, last year we mentioned having, you know, top five offense and a top five defense. Well, the defense wasn't there.
It was close.
It was getting close.
Like before the injuries happened, it honestly, Chris, it was playing easily as a top five defense. Like once they caught stride after like the first month, they were performing as a top five unit in the league. Then injuries just tore it apart.
Yeah.
But what's exciting about Weaver is it sounds to me, and I'm not an expert on the Baltimore defense, that he likes to use a lot of different guys in a lot of rotations, like kind of all over the field. It sounds like he's really going to rotate it in a lot of guys. So maybe some of the signings they're doing isn't just, oh my God, we don't have any players on the defensive line. Maybe some of it is scheme and Weaver's thought process on how he likes to play defense. So it's something to be considered as well.
So like, for example, I don't know that much about Jacksonville, but just from looking at the roster of the Buffalo Bills, I'm projecting they're going to be a heavy 12 personnel team or maybe even 22 personnel because they've got one receiver that's played for them for a while. They brought in Curtis Samuel. Everybody else is either rookie or just guys. All right. They brought in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's never really
He's never really amounted to what we thought he'd be.
And he's played with really good quarterbacks. So it's not like he's going from a bad situation to a good one.
Yeah. He went from Aaron Rodgers to Mahomes. Where did he play next? Mahomes. And now he's got Allen. Like that guy has had, And when he had Rodgers, Rodgers had a little bit higher level than he is probably right now.
And so
he is highly had. But watch, and I know we're not getting a conversation about Buffalo now. But Josh Allen has a way to turn some dudes you've never heard of sometimes into guys you're like, holy crap, that guy's
point,
good.
My point with that is if they go heavy because they got it, they got Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. They got the running back. They drafted a couple, or they drafted that one running back and then signed Frank Gore Jr. as a rookie free agent. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I think they're going to lean on those tight ends. When you do that, that changes your defensive front. So you may see maybe more, say, Benito Jones or Tier Tart or whoever the nose tackle is. You may see that guy more.
I mean, guys.
You might see those guys more than some of the other names because of where they play, because they're expecting to see more run and less, you know, heavy, you know, nickel personnel that we might see, for example. Whereas maybe Jacksonville comes out and runs three wide receivers all the time, and you know those defensive tackles just rotating, and they don't, nobody gets more than 40 snaps. But I think against Buffalo, just early on, I think especially with the learning curve with the offense and the receivers, you're going to, I think we're going to see heavier defensive fronts. So yeah, like you were saying, I think it's going to be just more personnel based. Then more so than just like last year, where it's like, these are the guys, this is our scheme, we're just going to do it and, you know, do what it's going to do what it do.
All right. Our producer in our ear is saying we got to wrap up, guys. Our producer is Lewis, and he sent a message. Got to wrap up. Guys.
Like, we got to wrap up. Like, I hope everybody enjoyed a little extra bonus show.
It was, but that was 15 minutes of the after show. Yeah. That's kind of what it's like when we shut it off. We just start BSing more like we're all still on the show.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about the Miami Dolphins, obviously, next week. We do have training camp officially going to be opening up next week, so maybe we'll get a chance to actually talk about some stuff that happened there.
Will Tua be first in the building? Come here to find out.
Without a new contract, I would say no.
Will Tua be in the building at all? Yeah, he will. They're going to get it done. It's going to get done by Friday. Friday is the day.
Okay, Ron, we'll hold you to that. We'll see if you're right. Anyway, for those of you who have not already done so, there's still an extra Taco Tuesday to take advantage of on Prize Picks. Use the promo code 5, that's FIVE. They'll match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Jerseys305.com, you can get 10% off when you use that same promo code 5 when you go get some vintage jerseys from them. And Valvoline is offering some extra discounts for 3YPC and 5 on the floor listeners. There's a link on both of their Twitter pages. So it's 10% off a full synthetic oil change and $8 off of a natural oil change as well. All right, so that's going to be it. We will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.